Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah, on the 4th of May 2017. And you're with me, inshallah, hopefully till the 10 p.m. news. I must say it is one of those days when my phone hasn't stopped buzzing with the amount of messages already that we have received regarding Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Amin Abu Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. To begin today's program, we speak to Marana's brother-in-law, a close friend of mine as well, Marana Ahmad Aku. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Marana.
Marana, a very emotional evening this for the family and the people of Lodium and the people in general on the loss of a very young alim and a very vibrant personality. From the very beginning, condolences to yourself, the family, Morana's father, Morana's family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all.
Ameen, Morana. It's a difficult time indeed. And generally, you know, I'm not, when it comes to expressing one's grief and talking in a difficult time like this, it's something that's really not the easiest thing to do. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength. Generally, talking is something that I've become known for, but when it comes to situations like this, I think it's something that's quite challenging.
Definitely so, Morana. Morana, to begin today's program, you want to give us a brief family background with regards to Morana Muhammad Amin?
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, Mulana, I was fortunate to have interacted with Mulana Muhammad Amin Abu for the last 13 years. He's my brother-in-law, my wife's brother. But what was amazing was there are different types of bonds and interactions that we experience in our lives in this world. There's a certain bond that friends have with one another. There's a certain bond that family members have with one another. And there's a certain bond that ulama have amongst one another, where we relate to each other in terms of our profession, and we have good friends as ulama. And mashallah, Maulana Bolsha, you're also one of them that I interact with on that level. But I was extremely fortunate by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all three types of relationships I enjoyed with Maulana Muhammad Amin Abu Rahimahullah. He was indeed my brother-in-law, my family member. He was also my very good friend, and we also interacted with one another in terms of him being an alim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting me a little bit of knowledge. So it was a relationship that encompassed these three types of bonds, and each one was extremely special. Each one was amazing. When it came to a family member, Mawlana rahimahullah was such a wonderful individual. He was so warm. He was so accommodating. When it came to a friend, we had a very close relationship. It was something that was different amongst what would generally be found amongst brother-in-laws. He was more like a brother to me. And then when it came to the relationship of me interacting with him in terms of him being an alim, mashallah, this was something that was even more amazing, that Allah allowed us the privilege and honor of enjoying in our time together. We would discuss various masail. We would spend hours talking about different aspects, discussing different topics. So these were the three different types of interactions that I enjoyed with Maulana.
In terms of his family background, Morana, is he from which family, and some brief background in that, inshallah?
Morana Muhammad Amin Abu is from the Janu family that is residing in Lodium. His father, Haji Akbar Janu, mashallah, is quite an upstanding man in the community, quite involved in many, many aspects of deen with regards to girls' madrasa, with regards to different avenues of serving the community and serving deen. So Mawlana hails from the Janu family that is very well known, mashallah, in Lodium and also different parts of the country as well. Mawlana's father has two other brothers as well that are also very well known in the community of Lodium. Let's not forget Mawlana's grandfather, who's Haji Abdul Sattar Janu, also a very well known and senior personality in Lodium. Mawlana has three sisters as well. He was the only son in his family, but amongst his extended family as well, Mawlana has many cousins all residing around the Lodium area. And from his mother's side, they hail from the Durban area, and there's a lot of family members there as well. The Jiwa family in Durban forms part of Mawlana's maternal side of his family.
I just want to read out some messages before we go further with Mawlana. There's quite a few that have come in. Assalamu alaikum. Mawlana Muhammad Amin was my ustad. When I was in the madrasa Riyadh al-Salihat, what a good teacher, so humble. Mawlana had such a great love for the noble Quran. We will never forget him and the valuable lessons he taught us. indeed a great loss to us and the Ummah. May Allah make it easy for his beloved wife, his two girls and his family. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Another message, Mawlana Muhammad Amin and I grew up side by side, my cousin and neighbor until recently. We spent a lot of time together, more especially during our young days. The loss of Mawlana has left us all shattered, shocked, and we are still dealing with it. However, as a young man with such strong personality and excellent conduct, it would be a loss if we do not learn from his qualities which stood out and made him the gem of the person he was. A light-hearted person who knew what he wanted from life. Salah was important to him, a priority even before he was an alim. He left everything to pray Salah on time and made us all go with him irrespective of what we were doing. Another quality that stands out is Mawlana went all out to maintain family ties. In today's time, we all get up caught with kids, etc. Mawlana with his own family made time to see his family and made sure they all were okay. He was just a phone call away whenever we required anything else. That comes from Brother Adil Janu as well. There's quite a few messages coming in, Mawlana. I want to read one more message from Mawlana's family, inshallah, and then we'll come back to Mawlana. And this is something which is very heart-touching and something that is very emotional. A tribute to my beloved husband. I left the comfort of my parents' home to make a life with you. I love you with all my heart and unconditionally too. I became one with you. Your ways, my ways, my eating, my sleeping, and my entire life rotated around you. I bore your children and dedicated my life to raising them for you. I lost my identity and embraced yours as mine. I basked in your attention, love and warmth. We became best friends and soulmates, confidants to each other, trusting each other with what we would trust no one else with. I was happy and content, and then suddenly in a split second, you were called back. I have lost my husband, my friend, my confidant, my partner, father of my children, keeper of my heart, my identity and my personality, and now I am empty shell. I only await the meeting of our souls. May Allah forgive you, award you the highest of forms of Jannah, because you deserve nothing less, and you shall always be a treasured memory from Mawlana's family, that is. So obviously, Mawlana, many people always feeling the loss of Mawlana, and there's quite a few messages. Mawlana, in terms of Mawlana's education, where did Mawlana get his education? You mentioned he became a alim. Where did Mawlana complete?
Mawlana's studies, his primary studies obviously was all done in Lodium, alhamdulillah. And his schooling was done in Lodium, and he attended also Pretoria Muslim School. Thereafter he moved on and he started his hifz at the capable hands of Mawlana Zahir Patel, also a great and senior alim in Lodium, mashallah. And thereafter Mawlana completed his hifz by Mawlana Muhammad Sallu, another great personality, mashallah. All the ulama in Lodium, Mawlana Muhammad Amin Sahib had the privilege of interacting and studying at the hands of many of them. He started his alim class at the Darul Ulum in Masjidu Salam in Lodium under the tutorship of, I think, Mawlana Farad Dokrat, who was a senior personality at all times in Mawlana's life. Mawlana always looked up to him as his mentor and had taken a lot of guidance and knowledge from him. So Mawlana's alim class was done in Masjidu Salam in Lodium at the Darul Ulum there. He studied. He started his alim class, I think, at the age of about 16, and by 22 he had completed his alim class.
Gee, some of the messages coming in, and there is something that I also enjoyed with Mawlana. He said, Salams Mawlana, he assisted us in our ghusl team. He was a strong Amir and we miss him sorely, from Kamal Jafar of the Central Muslim Burial. And really, I shared many ghusls we done together with Mawlana for those that have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to understand and appreciate the loss of Mawlana. Another friend of ours, Mawlana Ahmed Dokrat, says, our dear brother Mawlana Muhammad Amin was one in a million, a genuine soul who made time for everyone. Alhamdulillah, I knew Mawlana for the last 20 years. He had intense love for the Quran, and he recited Quran beautifully. Over the last few years, Allah afforded us the opportunity of having with us to our biannual trips to Cape Town. We will really miss his company. During our travels together, he always shared with us valuable points which he came across during teaching of the Quran. He would always be deep in thought and reflection. He loved Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise him among the shuhada and make him the Quran his intercessor. And that is from Morana Muhammad Dokra. Morana, you knew Morana also very well, and you also. What were some of the qualities that you learned from Morana as an individual?
There were so many, Morana, but to condense it, I think when it came to his simplicity and it came to his humility, this was something that was absolutely remarkable. Morana being 3 or 4 years my junior, so it was not a big age gap between the two of us. But from the time I had known him up until the last moments of his life, always the humility that Morana displayed was something that was absolutely amazing. His humbleness when it came to all aspects, the way he interacted with you, the way he would value somebody else's opinion. And at times, you know, we would go with one another when we would be discussing certain maslas, and Morana would come strongly with his point and I would be giving my input. But he'll be so humble in it. It will not that he will ever overrule somebody else's opinion. He displayed a great amount of humility for his young age, something which is not so prevalent in the world that we're living in. But over and above that, I think one of the most outstanding qualities that Morana had, and this is a quality that his entire family will bear witness to, was the level of respect that Morana had always maintained, especially for his parents. Every one of us as children, we all love our parents, we respect our mothers and our fathers to the best of our ability. But one amazing, amazing quality of Morana was the level of respect that he always displayed when interacting with his parents. And me being a family member, I can bear testimony firsthand to this. There were times in Morana's young age when, as a parent, his father would perhaps reprimand him or sometimes even be stern with him. But the respect that Morana would maintain was something that was absolutely mind-boggling. I recall in the early years of me entering this wonderful family, there were times where I actually highlighted this to my most respected father-in-law, and I told him that, you know, this quality that your son has is something which is absolutely rare, or if not almost extinct in the Ummah. It's something that you don't come across very often. Every person has their level of tolerance, has their level of where they we could say you push to the limit or whatever. And sometimes as children, I include myself, may Allah forgive me, perhaps we might overstep the bounds and perhaps we might fall into some sort of a disrespect when it comes to us addressing our parents, or sometimes interacting with them or dealing with certain scenarios and situations. But this was something that was absolutely amazing in Morana. It was something that I always marveled at. I even told him to, I said, you're so fortunate to have this quality, and may Allah keep this quality with you, and may Allah increase it in you. The level of respect that he would display at all times to his mother and to his father was something absolutely outstanding. In fact, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah instill this level of respect and dignity in all our youngsters and all our children, including myself. I wish Allah grants me that level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Morana with when it came to respecting his father. You know, it's more on an emotional side, but just to give the listeners some sort of idea of what level of respect and honor was always maintained by Morana towards his parents, that when Morana lay in the hospital in a very critical condition, in fact, almost exactly 1 month ago on the 4th of April that morning when we were headed towards the hospital and we were unsure of what was Morana's actual condition, I still remember the words of his father ringing through my ears where he said that my son has never ever disrespected me in my whole life, and there was never a time that my son never listened to me, and this is one time where I hope he's going to do the same, and he's going to pull through and he's going to fight through this great ordeal and challenge that has come upon him. He never ever disrespected me, and I've told him at his bedside that, Mohammed Amin, you need to get better, you need to come back, we need you. He's not going to disrespect me because he's never ever done that in his whole life.
Respected listeners, that is the we are speaking and we are discussing the life of Zulmana Muhammad Amin Abu Rahmatullahi Alay, and there are so many messages from the burial team, from the girls madrasa. Brother Irwan Kaka says Morana was always humble and was always greeted first, was affiliated with different madaris and giving da'wah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. His Fui says, and he sends a message, Salam, my name is Yasmin, I'm Morana's Fui. Morana was a very special person in my life and we had a very special bond. He would always find reasons to call me and find out how I'm doing. I was the last person to speak to Marhum Morana. We spoke for about 15 minutes. Maulana always told me to be as positive as I am. He never asked me to spread my positivity, never give up. He asked me to always be there for his family, and even asked if I remember him in my du'as. I told him that I will always and make du'a for him. Maulana always wanted to pass away as a shaheed. Maulana wanted me to come and have all the family get together before Ramadan. Least did I know that Maulana was actually getting me to get ready before Maulana was leaving us. And this was some of the things that was there. Maulana's friend, Brother Harun, we have Maulana Imran Joseph on the line. Maulana Imran Joseph is a very close friend of Maulana as well. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, in this very difficult time, in this very emotional time, very, very close friend of yours, what would you like to share with the community today, Maulana?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Firstly, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all conditions, and we thank Allah for giving us the time and opportunity to have and to spend with Manana Muhammad Amin. We fondly knew him as Chanu or Aminu, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him of those of the inhabitants of Jannah inshaAllah. I knew Manana from the early 1990s. We did some shifts together, and then we went to madrasa together, alhamdulillah. And there was never a day, wallahi, that we wouldn't speak or he wouldn't phone me. And myself, being the only child in the family, I never had a brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness that he truly was the brother that I never had. And really, wallahi, we had a great bond, and we really miss him a lot. And I would like to share with you one or two things about Maulana. The thing that I will miss the most with regards to Maulana Muhammad Amin, his beautiful smile. He had the most amazing, amazing, amazing smile. Whenever you would feel down, and as we will say, we're going through a difficult day, I'm having a bad day, he would phone and he would make your day. And he would make you laugh, and Allahu Akbar. And this was the characteristic, and this is something that we miss. Another amazing quality of Maulana Muhammad is that he loved to make shura. This was part and parcel of his life. Whenever he had anything to do, wherever he wanted to go, he would make shura. And something that we really miss. And Maulana Ubaidullah, to conclude. And this brings tears to my eyes, and the more and more that I think and I ponder over this, one is I smile, but one really my heart breaks, out of joy. In the sense that approximately 2 weeks before he passed away, he phoned me and he asked me that we need to meet. And we met, and he said that I want to mention to you a hadith of the incident of the two young Sahaba who made dua for one another. And others said, and one said Ameen to the other one, and likewise. And the dua that he made, Allahu Akbar, he said that Allah accept me from the shuhada. And said, Ameen.
Allah.
And this is something that will remain with me for the rest of my life. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah accepts him from the shuhada. Allah give him the highest stage in Jannah.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Maulana, for taking your time out.
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen. We have two messages, one coming from Hassan. Maulana is saying, an excellent ustaz was passionate about teaching. He was really by immersed by the asatiza. Brother Ahmed Muhammad, a very close friend of ours, says, myself and Maulana did heaps together by Qari Sallu. Maulana always would have a smile, would never pass you without greeting. And one quality may Allah give us all, I never heard him backbiting about anyone. That is from Maulana, this is from Brother Ahmed. Another message coming from Brother Zahir Jiwa, who says that his sincerity and humbleness was truly amazing. Respected listeners, I want to ask you now, whatever you are doing, just stop. Whatever you are involved, just give me a minute of your time. Just sit down, just listen to this clip, and understand the impact that the father had on his daughters. And after you listen to this clip, then realize how important is it for us to spend time with our children. I'm going to ask Brother Usama that there is two clips that we have kept online, for him to play both of these clips. If we can just realize what a man this person was, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be able to fulfill that role of being the family man and that role of following the footsteps of the pious. Brother Usama, please play for us those two clips.
I love you, Daddy. Come with Jan, my Daddy Jannat.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Zainab Muhammad Amin Abu, the daughter of the late Mullana Muhammad Amin Abu. I would like to tell all of you that's listening to me today that please remember my daddy in your du'as. Ya Allah, please can you forgive my daddy and please give him high stages in Jannah. Also, oh Allah, please can you make it easy for my mommy, the new baby, myself, my sister Zimira. I love you, Daddy, now and always. Please wait for us in Jannah. We'll be a family again. Jazakallah.
Respected listeners, it was Morana's daughters expressing their sentiments regarding their father. Assalamu alaikum, a message to Morana Muhammad Amin, not just my elder brother, but my ustad. Morana had a beautiful personality and humble character. A brother we looked up to and made sure he never looked us down in any way. He made sure he took the place of my father when my father was away. He gave time to each one of us. He had a very special place in my heart, in the heart of my parents. Never disrespectful or disobedient. He would always ask his mommy, would you allow me to go in jihad? She would say, I have one son and you will get shot. Little did we know that his jihad was protecting his parents. He was and will always be our brave soldier. With the empty space left in our hearts, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah. That is from Morana's younger sister. We have another friend of Morana now, Morana Zubair Kalang. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Morana, a colleague of yours, Morana, can you share some light with regards to some of your interactions with Morana?
Alhamdulillah. Morana Abidullah, you know my interaction with Morana Muhammad every morning, probably every morning you'd see us together. I knew Morana Muhammad Amin since childhood. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We attended the same school. Alhamdulillah, we attended the same madrasa. We qualified at the same madrasa. We taught at the same madrasa, but I think really our friendship grew 6 years ago when we started a small little group, which we now call as the VTS, the Sikh, through a common friend, Mala Imran, who just called a few minutes ago. He was really the binding between us. He is the one that brought us together as friends. And alhamdulillah, over the last 6 years, having this group where we would weekly go and visit the Sikh, Mala Muhammad Amin was really a great person. He was the person that was, as we always refer to him as the live wire in the group. He would always be keeping us together. He would be the one that will always be calling everybody. He would be the one that will always be bringing everybody together. This was his great personality. It was more than just a friendship. It was really a brotherhood that will stand for life. Alhamdulillah.
Morana, if you were to share one thing with the listeners regarding Morana's life, what would that be?
Morana, you know, really, being such close friends for many years, it's very difficult to pinpoint one particular incident. But for me personally, what I really will miss of him is that almost two or three times a week after Maghrib Salah or after Isha Salah, we would sit in the car together and discuss our tomorrow's dars, whatever we were to teach in madrasa. Perhaps there was something that we were uncertain about. We'd question one another, debate the topic, ask one another, what do you think about this? And this is really something that I will miss, that I really cherish in my time with him, alhamdulillah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and all the friends, Morana.
Ameen.
Jazakallah for your time this evening.
Yeah.
Brother Harun sends me a message. Harun is also one of those that are in the group visiting the bases. He said that Morana, one of the qualities of Morana was he would never sleep without paying all his debt. You see, sometimes as friends we would go together and we would borrow a 50 rand or a 30 rand or a 100 rand, or sometimes when we go out, if you know, Morana would say, I don't have money just to this year. And then he said, by the time I go to bed at night, I would see that before anything happens, I would see a message on my phone and Morana would then do an EFT of that amount in my account. That is how Morana was particularly was so particular about not owing anyone any money and making sure that before he sleeps, he paid back that money that he owed anybody. Some point that came about was in the Maulana, in a light-hearted conversation, would always teach people deen. He loved tafsir of the Holy Quran. And also some of the points is, Maulana was accessible to all, no matter your color, your status, or whatever conversation level you were at. These are some of the points that were coming. We have Brother Abdullah, one of Maulana's family members. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah for taking out your time this evening. What would you like to share with us this evening?
Well, Muhammad Amin was a wonderful person. He's my first cousin. My mother and his father are brother and sister. More than a cousin to me, he was a brother to me. So much has been said already from other people that have spoken about his qualities. And we can continue speaking the whole night about the qualities of Maulana Muhammad Amin. What a wonderful personality he had. He was such a kind, generous, utter.
Please take your time.
He was one in a million. Like everybody says, he was so ready to bring all his friends together. He was a live wire. Whenever he was around people, people were so attached. People just wanted to have more and more of him. People couldn't get enough of him. He was kind towards the kids, towards the elders, towards the sick, especially amongst our family members also. Muhammad Amin always made sure that he always kept the family together. He should try and make it a point of getting together for picnics, making sure the family interacts with one another. He should always make time for his grandfather, for his grand auntie who's living all alone. In fact, also, he looked after so many widows that we don't know about. He has so many great qualities. Muhammad Amin was only 50 years old, but honestly, he was one in a million. He was amazing.
Make it easy for you all. From the callers and the messages that we are getting today, we can only but imagine the difficulty and the challenge that you all are facing to be able to deal with the loss. Allah, make it easy for your brother Abdullah.
Ameen, inshallah.
JazakAllah so much for your time.
JazakAllah.
A message coming in, my last memory of coming to the Istima site. And in his usual manner, enthusiastic about the vibe at night with the Hirasa Jamaat, and the Sat is working to get everything ready for the days of the Ishtima. Allah grant him and his family Sabra Jameel. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Before we go back to Morana Ahmad, we have another very close friend of Morana, Brother Zakaria. Brother Zakaria, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah.
Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh.
Brother Zakaria, all the friends today are telling me how emotional they are and how difficult it is. Allah make it easy for all of us. Your contribution to the program tonight, Brother Zakaria?
One thing I'd like to tell you about Maulana Muhammad Amin, he was very particular about time. He set aside the time for every person in his life, his family members, his extended family, his friends. He'd make an effort to call you to make sure you're okay. And everything in his life had its specific place. He had his routine in the morning before Fajr, is to read his Quran. After Fajr, he used to teach classes, he used to come home for breakfast, go to work. Every night he had a different routine. Monday nights, him and a few friends used to visit the sickly. Tuesday nights, they used to distribute food. And like that, every night they had a specific time and a specific plan for what he was doing in life. Many people spoke about Maulana's good dini qualities. I remember him always as a friend. Would make you smile no matter what you felt. No matter how bad your day was, he could always make you smile. And one memory that is engraved in my head, Maaf Maulana.
Please take your time, sir.
Maulana, we were about 12 or 13 years old. And before Maulana Zahir was his history teacher, Maulana Bashir was his history teacher, Maulana Bashir Jina. And between school and his, the two of us used to climb on the roof of the school to have our lunch. Because from the roof of the school, we could see when Maulana was coming up for class.
Okay.
And he used to delay until Maulana used to take the turn and then he used to run up to class. And the smile on his face and him running to his class is engraved in my head for the last few days. The other thing that Maulana used to really love was hunting. And especially this time before Ramadan, he used to make a special trip to and shoot a few animals to distribute during Ramadan and to cook for people. That is more on his human side and not only on his dini side. You know? Sometimes we forget ulama are human as well. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah so much for your time this evening, Brother Zakaria.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. No words can begin to describe or explain how Maulana was to us all. Maulana always went out of his way to help one and all. He was the light of our family, and we will always remember and love him. And that is from his foi, Auntie Firoza. And then one last message I want to read before we come back to Maulana. A message, a great loss to the Ummah. It was a great honor to be growing up together as a cousin and a brother. May Allah grant him the highest abode in Jannah and grant us sabr. That was from Brother Suli Jiwa. Are you on the line with us? Maulana Ahmed?
Si, Maulana.
Maulana, there's so much of emotion that has been going through over the last 45 minutes or so. I wanted to come back to you and ask you, is there any other input so long that you would like to put to the program after hearing so much of input from the different family and friends of Maulana?
Maulana, I think first and foremost, this is a message I also shared with the family upon the demise of Maulana. It was an extremely difficult time, but I said it's also important that we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah allowed us the privilege of interacting with such a wonderful person for that particular stipulated amount of time. There's no time that's ever enough when it comes to people who we love, when it comes to our family members, when it comes to the people that are in our lives. No time is ever enough. And I even tried to console and pose the question that let's just say for argument's sake, if Allah had to give us the option, that okay, I'll extend Maulana's life, how long more would we take that extension for? 1 month, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, till the day to part would definitely be bound to come about. So we have to also praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it was out of his infinite mercy that Allah allowed us the privilege to interact with such an amazing person in our lives. And it's due thanks that we need to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna al-qalba la yahzan wal-'ayna la tadma'. Indeed, our hearts are broken. Our hearts are shattered and we are full of emotional and we cry out of human nature, which is a display of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. But we also have to show gratitude to Allah that Allah allowed us this privilege, because it could have been the decision of Allah for this never to have happened in the first place. We could have never had this individual in our life. So that's important. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to the burning desire of any individual, Mawlana Imran had shared with us the dua of Mawlana 2 weeks prior to the incident that had taken place. But I'd also like to share with the listeners, you know, out of the many interactions that I had with Mawlana, there was one thing that really stands out in my life, and it's something that I dearly miss. Mawlana had a habit that every Friday before the Jummah Salah, it was a set routine that my phone would ring any time between 11:30 and 12 p.m. before the Jummah Salah, and it would be a call from Mawlana. And his first would be, Mawlana, what's your topic for today? I'm on my way for Jummah, tell me what's the topic. And there are times where I would miss that call because I'd be still preparing for Jummah or I'd be driving to Durban for Jummah, and we'll discuss what topic we were speaking about. And about a month before this unfortunate incident had taken place, there was another family member, Mawlana's nephew, was sick in hospital, so I had come down to Pretoria to see the patient. And myself and Mawlana were sitting in the hospital. We were having coffee and we were discussing the fikr, what we're going to speak in about, what's the new topic that we're going to discuss. And amazingly, Mawlana told me, you know what, I want to talk about martyrdom. I want to talk about a shaheed, you know, and what's happening in the Ummah, but I think the Ummah needs to know about these things. So I told Mawlana, I said, Mawlana, let's take a step back and let's see how we're going to start this issue, addressing this important topic, because the Ummah needs to be conscientized about it. And I suggested to Mawlana that a good way to start this topic would be that speak about the virtues of a martyr in Islam. What are the virtues of a shaheed? Start your Jummah topic on this note, and thereafter you can build further into the topic and the aspect of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that was one of my last verbal face-to-face conversations with Mawlana, where I told him that start with the virtues of a shaheed. And I still remember standing at his hospital bed, because we were advised by the medical practitioners that we should talk to Mawlana, even though he was under anesthetic, and he was not basically interacting with us, but he could comprehend the people around him, and he knew what was happening around him at that time. So they encouraged us to speak to him. And I remember standing by his side, telling him more on a lighthearted note that, Morana, we spoke about speaking about the virtues. Nobody asked you for practical demonstration. Please now, you know, you're supposed to discuss this as a topic, not a practical demonstration. Come now, get better. We need you to come back home. It was also something I thought I'd like to share with the listeners. But, you know, Maulana was just 30 years of old, 30 years of age in the prime of his life. There's a quotation that comes to my mind. You know, they say it's not about the amount of years in your life, but the amount of life in your years. And for that young age of 30, the amount that Maulana managed to achieve, there was so much of life in all those years that he spent in this world. When it came to, you know, the different services that Maulana had given to the community upon his completion of his Alim class, Maulana did imamat in the famously known area of White Block in Lodium at the Masjid there. Maulana did imamat voluntarily. Maulana taught girls at the girls' madrasa voluntarily. Maulana taught at the Darul Ulum there, where he qualified, also voluntarily. And thereafter, Maulana would spend the greater portion of his day assisting his father in the family business. And this was something that I would always tell Maulana, that he was so fortunate in terms of him not being dependent financially. He could serve the deen on so many fronts. And you know, many a times I think this is more a message that goes out to all ulama. In fact, not ulama, I think more important, this is a message that will go out to all trustees. Because the reality of the matter is, many a times we feel that if a person is not taking a salary, especially as trustees, then they're not going to be so committed to the job and people might tend to get lazy. But what we saw practically demonstrated by Maulana was the fact that he was free and not in need of remuneration for his services of deen, how much more he gave back. And I would always tell Maulana, you're on such a strong footing and you're so fortunate to be in this position. And really, he handled it in the best possible manner, where he gave time to assist his father. He gave time for the deen. He gave time for his family. You know, I still remember, I would phone him late at night and he'd say, you know, Maulana, wali ahlika alayka haqqa, I just got home. I need to spend some time with my family. He tried his best to fulfill every role possible for a person to fulfill in their lives. To be the best son, to be the best brother, to be the best husband, to be the best father, to be the best guide that was needed for the ummah, to be the best assistant for all those in need. He tried his level best on every front. You know, the words of the poet come to mind, that لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت بانيها. That there's no home for any individual residing after death except the home that he built while he was living in this world. And I think, mashallah, Maulana did an amazingly fantastic job in trying to build the best of abodes for his eternal home in the year after. I spoke to his father upon his demise and I said that if somebody had to ask me my perception, then I would console you by saying that as a father, you did the best that you could possibly do to raise a fine son. Many of the qualities that were found in Maulana Muhammad Amin, mashallah, were directly passed down from his illustrious father. May Allah grant him strength in this difficult time. May Allah grant him good health and a long life, especially his mother as well. It's a really challenging time for them. May Allah's mercy be showering upon them and his entire family. But I said to his father that you did so much for your son in this world. He could have never repaid you in this world. Perhaps Allah has taken him before everyone so that he could prepare an eternal abode for his entire family. When we reflect upon the words of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَكُمْ ذُرِّيَّةٌ بِإِيمَانٍ, the tafsir of that verse, to share with the listeners, just a brief summary, that when a person will be entered into Jannah, and because of their effort and because of the amount that they have done to please Allah, they will enjoy an extremely high stage in Jannah. And when they will be entered into Jannah, they will enjoy all the bounties and then they will start searching, where's my mother, where's my father, where's my brother, where's my sister, where's my family members? And then they will be informed by the malaika that they did not manage to reach your level in terms of goodness. They in perhaps a lower level of Jannah. They far away from you. And this person will then intercede before Allah and say that, oh Allah, I never did my good only for myself. I want to be with my family. I want to be with my parents. I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my sibling. And Allah, out of his infinite mercy, will bring his entire family and whomsoever that person desires to this high level of Jannah. So perhaps this will be the reality, inshallah, that Maulana has gone ahead to set up everything for his entire family, and the amazing reunion will take place. May Allah make it a reality for each and every one.
Abdul Salam sends me a message and he says, Morana's father told me they enjoyed a very special relationship. And all his life he never said a oof to Morana. And his father also told me that shortly before he passed away he made dua for Shahada. Before Morana passed away, one of the wishes he had was that he would like to hear from the Holy Quran. A close friend of Morana, Brother Luqman Dokarat, says that he sends me a picture of Morana's WhatsApp, and he says, Morana is telling now the group that a taqaza for the ijtima has come about. We need to meet with the fire extinguished satis tonight after the Maghrib Salah. This is only for pre-ijtima preparations. Kindly avail yourself for after the Maghrib Salah. This was Maulana Muhammad Amin's message to them. We have a clip that they have been sent, but inshallah I will try and see if I can upload it on the system. And if we can, perhaps let the listeners listen to it at a later stage. It just takes a bit of time. Maulana, it comes to the most difficult part of the program, and especially in today's time, it's not an easy thing to do. But we speak about the last portion of the life of the Morana that has passed away. You want to take us through the last portion of Morana's leaving this world, the circumstances, and when Morana was buried, etc. for us before we close up?
I'll try, Morana. It was, I think, on the 19th of March last month. Morana's parents had gone to the airport to pick up Morana's sister that had returned from overseas. It was a Saturday night, and what makes it more difficult for me to speak about that was that particular weekend I had arranged a program here in Peter Maritzburg to host Morana Ibrahim Baham's Rab, Morana Suleiman Zawad's Rab, and on my visit to Lodium before that, I was discussing the same program with Morana Mohammed Amin, and I told him, Morana, we've got a nice program coming up, it's all weekend, we're going to spend with Morana Baham, Morana Suleiman Zawad, we're going to have a ulama retreat, please join us, you'll really enjoy yourself. And he said, let me see my program, I'll try and avail myself to come. So it was on that particular weekend, it was a Saturday night, Morana's parents went to pick up Morana's sister, they returned to Lodium, and there was some people that had followed them from the airport, and as they had entered their driveway, then these people began to hold up Morana's father and mother and family and began to steal the luggage that they had come with. Morana was at home at that moment with his family, living right next door to his parents. He had heard the commotion, so not knowing exactly what was transpiring, and his main fear being the lives of his parents and his family. That was his only concern. He came out of his home. Thereafter, a gun battle ensued, and Morana was shot. I still remember the moment. It was approximately after 10 in the night. I was in the farm, and I had received a message on the ulama group that one of our brothers on this group, Morana Mohammed Amin, has been shot in his shoulder. Request for dua. And I got an absolute shock of my life reading this message. I was in a place where there was not the best of telephone signals, so I immediately got up, I excused myself from the gathering, and I contacted the family, and to my surprise, this was a reality. So I quickly left that gathering, I excused myself, I came home, we jumped in the car with the family, and immediately we left for Lodium. So Morana was then rushed to hospital. Initially, there was surgery that was performed on Morana to try and stabilize him. That had gone through successfully, but then the doctor said that after a few days they would have to take Morana back into theater. But all along there was a lot of hope that was given with regard to Morana's, inshallah, his recovery, and he will be well. They managed to contain whatever they could contain, and inshallah Morana would be well. But one thing led to another. Morana developed another infection that had come about in the hospital, and Morana went through two or three medical procedures. And on the 3rd of April 2017, 1 month ago, Morana was scheduled to go for another op because they suspected that now internal bleeding had developed in Morana. So again, we jumped in the car and we drove all the way to Pretoria. We came straight to the hospital. Morana had just come out of surgery. And then I still remember the words of the medical practitioners. They said that, listen, what we initially feared doesn't seem to be so bad. This condition of Morana is extremely critical, but we're still optimistic that over the next 48 hours or maybe 72 hours, Morana will come round and he will begin his road to recovery. But all along days prior to that, other doctors that had seen Morana and different surgeons, they said that Morana's situation is critical. We don't know exactly what is going to be the outcome, but we're optimistic that inshallah he will pull through. So that was a Monday night. we went to bed that night, and I remember discussing with Mana, sister, that listen, only Allah knows what is going to be the outcome of this. And it was a habit of my wife, Malana's sister, that she would, that entire duration of Malana being in hospital, the entire family would phone the hospital at different hours to check how's Malana doing, how's his condition, has he improved, is there any challenges that have come about. It was a daily routine and extremely challenging time, especially for Malana's family, Malana's wife, Malana's father, his mother. His father would make 3-4 trips a day to the hospital, and Malana's wife would practically spend most of the day in the hospital. So that night, we contacted the hospital about 11 in the night, and then they were informed that they're going to start the dialysis procedure for Malana to try and improve his condition and you know, make him recover faster. So we were a bit surprised. So again, we were still optimistic. That Tuesday morning, we woke up for Fajr Salah, and we said, let's go to the hospital and let's check on Malana's condition. If they started this procedure, how's his condition? To our surprise, we did not know what lay ahead. It was myself, Malana's father, Malana's other brother-in-law, and my wife. We left to go to the hospital. Malana's auntie as well was with us. And we got to the hospital. It was about 5:45 a.m., around 10 to 6 in the morning. And as soon as we entered the hospital, Malana was already in cardiac arrest. And there were a number of nurses and medical practitioners around Malana doing CPR. We were absolutely shocked. We could not believe our eyes as to what was the condition. At that moment, there's so much of thoughts and emotion that run through your mind. Malana was in a portion of the hospital that required a very high level of security, or terms of, you had to, you know, dress yourself and put a gown on, and very high levels of sanitation. It was like a place where there couldn't be no infections or anything of that sort. So it took a few minutes. You had to practically dress yourself up to enter the room in which Malana was. So that took a few minutes. He got in there. And we stood looking at Malana's almost lifeless body, and they're continuing their procedure of CPR, trying different methods, giving Malana different injections to try and revive the heart. It was a procedure that lasted for about 45 minutes. And during that time, I tried to recite whatever portion of the Quran Allah put in my mind, begging Allah for his mercy, telling Allah there's nothing impossible for you. I remember the words of Malana's father, that I just made dua after Fajr Salah. I said, oh Allah, a father is not supposed to bury his child. Children are supposed to bury their parents. Oh Allah, spare my son, make him better. His father said to me, I just made this dua. My Allah is not listening to me. And he started speaking to Malana and saying, Malana, come back. You never ever disobeyed me. There was never a time that you went against what I said. Come back, please come back. We want you back. Please pull through. After 45 minutes of this procedure non-stop happening before our eyes, the doctor came to us and said, look, we've tried whatever we could, and unfortunately this is the end. We declare Malana no longer in this world.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Malana jannatul firdaus, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for yourself, Malana's family, his wife and his children, especially Malana's father. You know, Uncle Akbar, when I phoned him, he was so emotional. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the entire family at large, Mawlana.
Also, we request all the listeners to make special dua for Mawlana's family, his wife, his two young daughters, mashallah. They're such amazing, wonderful children. You know, I think of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made when he put his hand on the Sahabi Abdullah. Jafar bin Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was martyred. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on Abdullah upon the demise of his father and said, Allahumma aflufu fi ahlihi, O Allah, you assist the family of Ja'far, O Allah, you assist the family of Ja'far, you take care of these kids. We make dua that, O Allah, you assist the children of Mu'ana, O Allah, you succeed in his family, O Allah, you take good care of them and shower them with your mercy, and take them from strength to strength, and may Allah shower his mercy upon his entire family. You know, Mu'ana, as many of the listeners have highlighted, of Moana's been a live wire in every aspect when it came to family gatherings. So amongst his whole family, his uncles, his aunties, his cousins, his distant relatives, everybody feels the loss. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them all in their difficult times and grant them sabr and patience.
Ameen. Moana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Ameen, Moana, we need to say jazakallah to you for taking the time of giving the Ummah an opportunity of knowing knowing who was this great personality. We may dua that Allah grant him the highest of favor in Jannah.
Ameen.
May Allah reward him.
There's a few messages I want to read now as we close the program. He says, Morana, I want to say one thing. The night Morana got shot, he told me that he made us witness that he read the Kalima 3 times as we were loading him from the ambulance. Morana, from Morana's father, he would like to thank everyone who has contributed in this difficult time. Remember us in your du'as. Another message coming in, Morana Muhammad Dokarat, and perhaps this summarizes the program. Please forgive me for not calling in, as I'd be too emotional to talk. Morana Muhammad Amin was truly a special person. He was our student and then also a teacher with us at the madrasa. When I think of Morana, I think of the saying that the death of a scholar is the death of the entire world. The students and the teachers of the madrasa really miss Morana, for he cannot be replaced. May Allah raise his ranks among the shuhada and reunite him with his family and his loved ones in Jannatul Firdaus. And it comes from Morana Muhammad Dokratab, Tamil Barakatuhum. Respected listeners, there is so much that we learned today. In terms of summarizing the program, Morana Muhammad Amin was such. He ran much service of deen without taking any money from any of the services he ran. He had an intense love for the Quran. Every Monday night, he was the one between a group of his friends just to go to the hospital to visit the ill. Imagine for years if you're doing that, and if every Monday night 70,000 angels are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. He was a very obedient son to his parents. His mother, Allah make it easy for her. At this time, every day becomes harder for the mother, and every day becomes more difficult for the mother, and every day it becomes such that as a parent, we never understand the challenges that parents face when it comes to burying the children. May Allah make it easy for Uncle Farooq and Morana's mother, Morana's family, Morana's daughters as well. Really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that they become this amazing person their father was. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the community of Lodium a suitable replacement. One of the people was telling me, one of the friends, that you know, Morana's habit was such that one of his friends, he would go to the house and give the domestic some extra money because the domestic was looking after his friend's children. Imagine what a big heart Morana had. There was times that I was with Morana when we would be giving ghusl alone. There was a time whereby we were giving ghusl and there was no family members. It was just myself, Morana, and one, two of the other ghusl members that normally give ghusl. And we were doing it, Morana was doing it so sincerely. The Morana would be feeding the people at the Jalsa in Madrasatul Salihat. Morana would be reading Taraweeh. So many aspects of services of Deen Morana had made at such a young age. At the age, Morana was even younger than me. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Morana Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for his family, his wife, his daughters, his parents, his brothers, sisters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the void that the family is feeling. They are his foyers, his aunties, his massages, all of them that are finding the void that is there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. And may Allah keep on inspiring us by such personnel who serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so selflessly. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, for this evening's program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.